Tonight, I want to speak to you from Psalms chapter 85. I'm aware that we've preached in this chapter before, but I'm also sure it'll be a little different. I want to talk to you tonight about what revival is all about. What revival is all about. I'm saddened to say this, but revival many times in the day and hour that we live in is really nothing more than a series of meetings. That's all it is. It's a special meeting. And while I'm saying that, I think one thing that would help this meeting coming up, not just to be a series of meetings, would be if someone would join me between now and Sunday in skipping a few meals and fasting and praying. I'm not talking about the whole time between now and Sunday, but it'd be a good time, beloved, to try to get a hold of God. The Bible said this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Amen. I don't expect James to fast. Amen. I really don't. Amen. But some of us, it wouldn't hurt us to do that. Just get a hold of God, get in that prayer closet. And the Bible in one place, it said, whose God is their belly? And we need to make sure that our God's the God of heaven. Amen. And we can give up some food. Jesus did it. Moses did it. Paul did it. And many people in the Bible did it. And it's a scriptural truth. If we really want revival, I think about two individuals, and I'm not going to name them, but when Brother Coulter was here in the spring, there's two individuals on my heart tonight that I saw God do a work in their heart, and that work is still going on, and that's worth it all. Say amen. I mean, if you had to have meetings till Jesus comes, amen. But how many's got some people you'd like to see saved in this meeting? How many like for God to do something in your heart, draw you a little closer? Amen. I know that your pastor needs that. So let's pray. Let's fast some and pray and get a hold of the Lord and ask him and just see what he might do. He said here in verse 1 of Psalm 85, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Boy, I like that. Can I tell you something tonight? Either it's all covered or we're all in trouble. Amen. Amen. You think about that tonight. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for this precious old book. Lord, I'm glad it never changes and it never will. The truths of thy word, Lord, are settled forever in heaven. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your people that are gathered tonight on this Wednesday night. I know school is starting back, and I know, Lord, folk are tired. But God, I know this. You want to meet with us. You want to meet with us tonight. You want to meet with us, Lord, this weekend and, Lord, next week in the revival. God, I pray for the singers that will come and sing, the preacher that will come and preach. God, us that'll carry our hearts and our ears into the house of God for each service, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. Make us more like your Son. God will give you glory. Save the lost, our Lord. Lord, what a joy it would be to see somebody fall out with their sin and, Lord, come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you again for being here this evening. I want to, Brother Richard, I'm going to experiment with this thing, okay? I'm going to move it up. I just moved it up maybe where to maybe be more consistent. But I'm going to experiment with the microphone a little bit tonight and try to flag me down if it ain't working right, okay? Does it sound okay right there? What we've been noticing is a difference, like when I look down at my Bible and when I look up, so maybe if I get it up here closer, I'd really like to stay with it, amen. I'm not real fond of the earrings, but anyway, I'd like to stay with it if I can. All right, we want to look at several things tonight, just five things tonight in this message, what revival is all about. Number one, I see in the text, I'm just going in the text and how God has led me. I believe revival is about remembering. That's what I see first in this message tonight. He said, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. I believe we need to remember his favor. How many could say tonight, God's been good to me? Amen. I'm telling you, my little granddaughter, my least granddaughter, Ava, I thought she was reading it, but she had a phone, had it up there and was playing that song, I Have Been Blessed, and singing it word for word. And not like Papaw, she was singing on key, amen. It was beautiful, amen. I mean beautiful. And I told her, my tears come in my eyes. I said, honey, would you sing that for us at our church? She said, no. Amen. Well, if it's bad now, you can only imagine what it's going to be like when she gets older, amen. But boy, she was willing to sing it for Papaw, and it blessed my heart. Remembering his favor, that God has been good to us, amen. The Bible said, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. You know, America's got a lot of problems tonight. But I want you to do something for me. I want you to tell me where you'd rather live than right here in the United States of America. And as far as I'm concerned, now you may disagree, but as far as I'm concerned, right here in East Tennessee, in the United States of America. If you live over in Virginia, that's close enough, amen, to call you home folk, amen. But I'm telling you tonight, God has been good to us. And I believe when you start, listen, we can dwell on the woes, but what we ought to do is dwell on the favor that God has been good to us. Amen. And I believe that would help us in preparing our hearts for revival, to remember his favor. The second thing I think we should remember here is his forgiveness. I believe if people would just go back in their lives and that God begins to stir in that fire, if we could just go back to that place where God forgave us of our sin and remember, amen, how good it was. I told somebody a while back, I said, you know, there are times when I've almost signed up for one of them doctrines where you can get saved more than once, amen, because line me up, sign me up, I'd get right in line, amen, it's a good the first time, I'd go right on and do it again, amen. I remember when he forgave me. Do you remember that? When he took that load off of me. And I believe that's what revival's about, amen, is remembering. And then we need to remember his fierceness. Look in verse number 3. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. You say, well, Pastor, why would we remember his fierceness if we're no longer under his wrath and we're no longer under that judgment? I'll tell you why. Because if we have revival, beloved, we're going to realize there's men and women, boys and girls all around us that are still under the judgment of God. And we need to remember that, amen, and remember that just as God brought us out from under that judgment, He wants to bring them out from under that judgment. He wants to do a work in their hearts. He wants to do a work in their lives. So revival is about remembering. I believe the devil, he wants us to think about everything except God, except His favor, except His forgiveness, amen, except His fierceness. And by the way, beloved, He is a God of mercy, a God of grace, but He is a God of wrath, amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that God would help us if we just remember Him in revival. What revival is all about? Number one, it's about remembering. Number two, it's about repentance. I want you to see here in verse number 4, the Word of God said, "Turn us, O God, of our salvation." Now, I'm going to give you some things here tonight. First of all, the Bible said this, "And knowest not," this is in the book of Romans, "that the goodness of God," we've been talking about remembering His goodness and remembering His favor, "beloved, leadeth thee to repentance." I like what Brother Mitchell said. I'll never forget it. I don't believe as long as I've got a memory. He said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And I believe that's the truth. Amen. A lot of times when we say the word repentance, we automatically think of a sinner. This is not talking to sinners. The writer here in the psalm for the sons of Korah said, "Turn us." Amen. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land." Revival is about repentance. If every child of God would come into this meeting and say, "God, if there's one," we might say, "little thing," or "if it's a big thing," "if it's a buried thing," "if it's a thing we're not even aware of, God, show it to me because I want to get it right." Amen. I don't want to stand in the way of the moving and the wooing of the blessed Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Years ago, I was preaching in a meeting with the Navajo Indians. Brother Tom Shelton was the pastor there, a missionary pastor. And we had a good meeting. There was, I believe, 11 saved that week. 2 in the church were saved. 9 in a Christian school were saved that week. And I saw something that I had not seen. And I really don't know if I've seen it again since that time in my Christian experience. A lady come to the altar. I preached. She came broken to the altar. She got up off the altar and come up on the platform and talk to the pastor, and she went back down and stood in front of the communion table and apologized to the church. She had been a Sunday school teacher in that mission church, and she had got out in the world going the ways of the world, and God broke her heart and brought her home. Say amen. So she said, she told God, "I need you to forgive me." And she got up from there and went to the pastor and said, "I need you to forgive me." And he said, "Pastor, she didn't need to do that. When it's public, yes, you do." When everybody in the church knows you've been on a bar stool instead of a church pew, say amen. Amen. Then yes, you do. And she got right with the pastor and said, "I want to talk to the church. I want to get right with the church." He said, "Go ahead." Amen. Revival is about repentance. Amen. And I'm telling you, heaven came down that week too. I'm telling you, not just in her heart, but in that church. I remember Brother Tom calling me after the meeting was over. He said, "I lined my men up on the front pew all the way across the front of the church." He said, "I started one at a time." Said, "What do you think about supporting Brother Vinoy? It's a mission church. Going to support a missionary." And one at a time, right down the line. "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Got to the last one. He couldn't speak English. So it had to be interpreted. And this is what that last one said in Navajo. With tears, an old Navajo Indian said, "I hope someday we can love our people the way Brother Vinoy loved our people." Yes, amen. Let's support him. And they supported me the rest of the time I was there. You say, "Pastor, what happened?" I'm going to tell you what happened. I believe just one, say amen, was holding the key to the whole meeting. Amen. Repentance. 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 Turn us. Turn us. The Word of God said here. I want to give you some things tonight. First of all, I want you to see the delight in turning. Look at Psalms chapter 80 and verse number 3. The Bible said, turn us again. Oh, God. By the way, beloved, I've been saved since 1987. I'm glad I know what the word again means. Say amen. You can shine your halo if you want to. Say amen. But we don't always get it right. There's times we need to say to our wife, times we need to say to our children, times we need to say to a brother or sister in Christ, I'm sorry. I blew it. Amen. The Bible said, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face, there's the delight, to shine upon us. When God's face shines on his people, that's a blessing. Amen. We see the delight in turning. Then in verse number 7, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And then again in verse number 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. I don't know about you, but I believe the psalmist, he knew something about the reason we need to turn, because we want God's face to shine on us. Say amen. We want God's light in our lives. So we see the delight in turning, but then we see the deliverance in turning. Look what the Bible said in verse number 4. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. You know, I hadn't thought about this till I was praying just a moment ago. I thank God. Who requested prayer for Israel tonight? Raise your hand. Whoever did. Bill, you requested prayer for Israel. I was over there praying for Israel. And I don't know why I hadn't thought about this. And I think we should pray for Israel. Don't you get me wrong. Say amen. I believe that's the right thing to do. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I'll tell you what, you know what? My mind went back to that Old Testament when God used heathen nations to punish his people. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Israel's not going to be annihilated. Somebody say amen. I done read the Bible. Say amen. But I'm telling you what's the truth. Listen, God can not only use heathen nations to punish Israel, but God can use heathen nations to punish a Christian nation that refuses to turn, amen, when God speaks to us about this issue or that issue. There's deliverance in turning. But then I want you to see, if you will, the direction in turning. Turn to the book of Lamentations just a minute, or if you don't want to, that's fine. I'll read it to you. Lamentations chapter number 5 and verse number 21. Watch this now. Turn us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the direction and turning? Beloved, it's not turn to the news. It's not turn, beloved, to each other, but turn us unto thee. That's the direction that revival turns somebody. It turns them towards the Lord. Amen. And beloved, when it's that way, it almost comes just like it did in the life of Isaiah. Isaiah was looking around. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. 5 chapters. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. Chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. No more woe unto them. When we turn unto him, it's woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We get to that place. Thank God it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Beloved, that's the direction of our turning. There's the remembering. What revival is all about, it's about remembering. It's about repentance. And then number 3 tonight, revival is about reviving. It's about reviving. I looked at Webster's, and I can't do this without thinking about Brother Brian. Every time I look something up in Webster's 1828, I think about Brother Brian, because he used that a lot in Sunday school, and he referred to it a lot, because many times when Webster was defining something in 1828, he used scriptural examples. Amen. I think it's a blessing. Reviving. It talks about bringing again to life. That's what it means. To reanimate. To raise from languor. Depression or discouragement.
to rouse, to revive one spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what revival is about. And so the Bible said here in Psalms chapter number 85, wilt thou not revive us again? This is talking about God's people. The question, a preacher said one time, a man asked him, said, why do y'all keep having them revivals? Why do you keep doing that? He looked back at that individual and said, why do you keep taking a bath? Why don't you just take one for the rest of your life and see how good your company is? Say amen. I tell you why we keep having them revivals, because we keep on getting in a place, every one of us, where we need God to stir in us, and we need God to clean us, amen, and we need God to come among us, amen. Then we're too blessed to be depressed tonight, reviving. We see in chapter 85 and verse number 6, we see the head of revival, and that is the word thou. Wilt thou not revive us again? If we have revival, beloved, it's not going to be because you're a pastor. It's not going to be because of Brother Keith. It's not going to be because of a choir. It's not going to be because of some special singers that comes in. It's not going to be because of anything but Him. Amen. He's the one, beloved. He's the head of revival. And then we see in Psalm 138 and verse number 7, if you want to turn over there, I want you to see the help of revival. Not just the head of revival, but the help of revival. Listen to what it said. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. How many believes, beloved, listen, that our country's in trouble? How many believes, listen, our education system's in trouble? We're graduating youngins that can't read and write. We're graduating youngins, beloved, that couldn't make change at a cash register if a computer didn't tell them how to do it. I'm not throwing off on the youngins, but I tell you what I will do. I will throw off on that teachers' union. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. You want to straighten education out in America? Let me tell you what to do. Just give every family that's got a youngin' in school the same amount of money and let them spend it where they want to. I don't know about you, but people that care about their youngins will put them in a school where they're going to learn something. They might even put them in a school where there's a paddle in the office. That boy of mine was lazy. I don't know where he got that from. And I ain't going to get my backhoe out and say, didn't come from Miss Eve either. Amen. That boy of mine was lazy. He wouldn't do his homework, and he'd get sent to the office. And it become a little bit of a routine in high school. But you could either write 100 times, I will do my homework, or you could bend over. And he always chose just to bend over. It got to where they quit asking him which one he wanted to do. Amen. It's like, let's get this over with. And you know what? I think really, I'm being honest now, Brother Jim's in heaven, the man that was using the paddle. I'm not sure, but what he didn't enjoy it a little bit, but his wife would stand in the office over there and cry. Amen. He said, Pastor, I just don't think there's any place for that. You got the same Bible I got? I said, do you got the same Bible I got? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight. We see the help of revival here. The Bible said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. We're living in trouble sometimes. But he said, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. And thy right hand shall save me.
Amen.
Thank God there's help in the middle of the mess. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight there's a reviving. Then I want you to turn to Isaiah, please, tonight. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 57 tonight. And I think this is just as important as anything I'm going to say about reviving tonight. I want you to see the humility of revival. The humility of revival. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15. The word of God said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. How many believes he's holy tonight? I dwell in the high and holy place. Now, is that right? Now, what you think about revival tonight? Think about reviving. If this don't stir you up, beloved, you're just twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The Bible said he dwells in the high and the holy place. What's the next three words? With him also. With him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I'm telling you, beloved, if we'll approach this meeting in humility, amen, not full of pride, but approach this meeting in humility and pray for the pastor, pray for the preacher that's coming to preach, pray for the singers, pray for the choir, amen, pray one for another, pray for sinners. I'm telling you, beloved, if we'll humble ourselves, God said, I'll lift you up. Amen. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. How many wants God to come in the meeting? Okay. You know where he comes in? He comes in where there's humility. He comes in where there's a bunch of people that invite him in. He comes in where there's a bunch of people that says, Lord, we need you. He come in where there'd be a bunch of people that say, God, if you don't come in, we just need not to even meet. Say amen. We're wasting our time spinning our wheels. Amen. If God don't come in among us, amen. Thank God tonight for the reviving. Then I want you to see this tonight. Number four. What's revival all about? It's about remembering. It's about repentance. It's about reviving. But then number four, it's about rejoicing. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You get a bunch of people remembering and repenting and God stirring in them, there's going to be some rejoicing going on. You remember down there where Philip was called away from Samaria? What did the Bible say? It said there was great joy in that city. You remember that? You know why? Because God was a-working. People was getting healed. People was getting saved. Amen. And God was working in their midst. And the Bible said here, the Bible said that thy people may rejoice in thee. There's the head of revival again. It's about him rejoicing in him. I want you to think about the circumstance of rejoicing. You say, well, Pastor, what if we come in here and it's not a real high note? Let me tell you something right now. Revival doesn't always have to be a high note. If you'll go over there and read, let me see, in the book of, you got Nehemiah and Ezra. If you'll go over and read in the book of Ezra, beloved, they stood up and read in the book of the law 1/4 part of the day. Yeah. What did they do another 1/4 part of the day? Does anybody remember? They confessed their sin. Honey, I don't believe that was swinging from the chandeliers, brother. I believe people was broken. I believe people, beloved, was humble before God. And they had found the wood. They had found the book. Somebody said, bring a book. You know what we ought to say to Brother Keith Sunday morning? Bring the book. Amen. Preach that old book. We need that book. Why? Because then there's rejoicing. He said, Pastor, what do you mean the circumstance of rejoicing? Well, it may not be swinging from the chandeliers, but let me tell you what the Bible said. God sent the disciples out on a little preaching tour, and they come back, and boy, they were thrilled because the spirits were made subject unto them. You know what Jesus said? Calm down, boys. He said, I don't want you rejoicing because the spirits made subject unto you. Brother Preston, he said, I want you to rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Glory to God. I'll tell you, every night I come in this meeting, my name will still be written in heaven. Say amen. In other words, I can rejoice regardless of what these external circumstances are because there's something that's happened on the inside. My name is written in heaven. There's the circumstance of rejoicing. And then there is the command in rejoicing. I want you to think about that. The Bible said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, I don't feel like it. God didn't say rejoice when you feel like it. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what James is doing. Y'all just ain't interpreting it right. Amen. And I wouldn't even know it if I didn't have my hearing aids in. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, God wants his people to rejoice. He commanded us to. Amen. And then I want you to think about the crown of rejoicing. The Bible said, what is our our hope or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? That's where you come over there, beloved, the sinners being saved by the grace of God. How many's ever been in a hospital? They used to do it at Indian Path. I don't know if they still do or not. Sister Hannah, is that where you had Liam? It wasn't Indian Path? Okay, I thought it was. I get mixed up. But they used to do it at Indian Path. When a baby was born, there was a chime that played all over the hospital. And it just told you that down there at that ward where they give birth, that a baby's been born. Well, I don't know what happens in heaven, but I believe God lets them know. I really do. You say, Pastor, why do you believe that? Because the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I don't know how God, and I don't believe God lets them know the bad stuff over there, but I believe there's some kind of chime, there's some kind of way the beloved God lets them know another one was born. The church is one more closer out of being made up. I'm one believer closer to going and getting my children and bringing them home. Amen. There's a crown of rejoicing. And then I want to give you this, and I'm done tonight. Not only, beloved, is revival about remembering and about repenting and about reviving and about rejoicing, but revival is about resolving. And I use this word tonight. And I went to that Webster's 1828. And to resolve means to fix an opinion or purpose, to determine in mind. And when God gave me this, and I'm not going to call the young man's name, but God put a young man in my heart. When Brother Coulter was here preaching, I've seen something. I've seen a young man that's determined. He's resolved. I'm going to go with God. Amen. I believe that it's a blessing to see God give us that. You say, Pastor, where is that in the text? I'm glad you asked me. Look at verse 13. The Bible said, righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, when real revival comes, you have a bunch of people, you know who, listen, they're wanting to get in the steps of the Savior. They're going to be set in the way of his steps. They don't want to turn to the left. They don't want to turn to the right. They're determined. They've resolved in their heart, I'm going with God. If people go with me, great. If they don't go with me, I'm sorry. I'm going anyway. Amen. That's what it means, beloved, to resolve in your heart. The Bible said it's a way that sets us forth in his steps. I want you to see in 1 John chapter number 4 for just a moment, a text over here in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That's a good verse of scripture right there. You say, well, Pastor, if I was to be a good witness, they'll make fun of me. Guess what? They made fun of him. Say amen. You say, well, Pastor, if I was to carry my Bible to school, people would mock. I'm going to tell you, they mocked him. Say amen. I used to tell our young people when I was a youth director, when I first got saved, if you don't read your Bible, don't carry it to school. That's hypocrisy. Say amen. But if you read it and you're not ashamed of Jesus, you're not ashamed of his word, make sure it's the top book on your stack of books. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We can see this country turned around. But it's going to take some people with a spine. It's going to take some people that's resolved. I have resolved no longer to linger. Amen. I'm going to walk in the way of his steps. And then set us in the way of his steps. It's a way that's set forth in his steps. But then I'll give you this. You say, well, Pastor, how can I know for sure which way I ought to go? It's a way that's set forth in the scripture. Look what the Bible said. Verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth and righteousness righteousness shall look down from heaven. It's a way that is set forth in Scripture. You say, Pastor, I didn't see Scripture mentioned there, but I did see the word truth twice. And Jesus said this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. It's a way that follows in his steps. And you say, well, Pastor, how can we know whether we're going in his steps? We've got a book. Say amen. You don't need to walk outside of this book. If you'll walk in line with this book, you'll be all right. Amen. And others will see. Beloved, we need to resolve in a way that's set forth in his steps, a way that's set forth in the Scripture. But then it's a way that's set forth, beloved, for his saints. The Bible said here, set us. It's not about them. It's about us. We can't expect them to resolve to serve God. Say amen. But it's about us resolving. God, I want to have that kind of revival that when it's over, I'm determined to go on with God. Say amen. Because that way, it's really not over. And you know, I can say this honestly. Brother Jason, you know the two men I'm talking about. One of them's young, one of them's not so young. But God did a work in two men's hearts in that revival. That revival's still not over. That revival in the spring is still going on. Now, that's what pastor knows about. That's something I can see. God only knows what went on that I can't see or I don't know about. And to God be the glory. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's a blessing to know, beloved. Listen, when revival comes, there's a work that goes on that's not going to stop when the evangelist leaves. Say amen. It's going to go on because, listen, it's not the work of the evangelist. It's the work of God in the heart of God's people. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad that Brother Jason didn't bring a bigger wagon? Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You could put a lot of King James Bibles in that wagon, brother. You're talking about a load. Say amen. Stack them up. Let's stand tonight. We'll be dismissed in prayer.